And I'll be reading from chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of the 8 days, he was circumcised. He was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Welcome. It's a joy to celebrate Christmas in July with all of you. Well done coming out in the rain in your ugly Christmas sweaters. For those of you who have some nice ugly ones, for those who came in their nice sweaters, welcome to you as well. It's a joy to celebrate Christ tonight. My name is Charles. I'm an intern here at WPC Bull Creek. And especially welcome if it's your first time in a church at all tonight, or if it's your first time here at Bull Creek. We're so glad that you could join us. And I hope that as you hear from God's word tonight, that you'd be rejoicing with us in the birth of Christ. Now, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. The festivities, the Christmas lights, the Christmas light hunting, if you've ever been out doing that, Christmas music, the holidays, gift giving, it's all fun. But the truth is that the richness and glory of Christmas is lost on most of the world. It's easy to be so absorbed with the holiday itself that behind the Santa movies and the elf hats, jingle bells and Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, the story of Jesus Christ just seems like a dated add-on to pay homage to a tradition that is long past its relevance. Now, singing Christian carols or having nativity scenes or hanging a star on a Christmas tree, they might feel like nice traditional things to do to contribute to the traditional side of Christmas. But have you ever stopped and considered why the birth of Jesus Christ is celebrated in the first place? Who actually is Jesus? And why does he even matter? In fact, I'm going to argue tonight that there is nothing in the entire world that matters more than this Jesus, who we see tonight in the Bible as a little baby lying in an animal feeding trough. Now, let's look at the part of the Bible that Kat just read for us from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 14, and let's see why Jesus is such a big deal. And I want you to notice two things tonight. First, that Jesus is king, and second, that he is Savior. Now first, let's see that Jesus is King. Now in this part of the Bible, we see that Jesus is being born in Bethlehem. And historically, this is the city that King David was born in. He's the greatest king of Israel's history. And Jesus being born in Bethlehem isn't just a passing detail. It's not something of small significance. It's actually an incredibly profound event that indicates that he is God's long foretold king, the promised king of Israel who would come from David's family line. Now you might think, Charles, what do you mean by long foretold? It sounds like a line out of Narnia. And yes, Narnia was written by a Christian man and he was no doubt drawing on something like this. But that is fiction. That is a story. And in contrast, this is real. We have a real written down promise of Jesus coming well before he was born. 700 years before Jesus was born, in fact, this was written down. God laid out all the specific details that would surround the birth of Jesus. Let me read you again an important part of the Old Testament, which Scott read for us earlier from the book of Micah, chapter 5. There you go. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, and that's the town of Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origins are from of old, from days of eternity. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Now you see, Jesus being born in Bethlehem is not of little significance. It's a profound event that indicates he is this man. He is God's ruler descended from David, interestingly described as a shepherd, a picture of a tender-hearted king who cares for the needs of his people and protects them as God's flock, like a shepherd would from the wolves. And he will bring perfect peace to God's people and establish his kingdom to the ends of the earth. In other words, Jesus defeats all the bad guys. That's what this means. Jesus defeats all the bad guys and brings his people to dwell in perfect safety and protection across the globe. And the Jews of Jesus' day, they expected this ruler, the king whom they called the Christ or Messiah. Messiah and Christ mean anointed king. They expected this Christ to be this mighty king, to come and deal with all the Jewish enemies through war, to destroy the Roman Empire, and to spread his kingdom on earth that way. But that's not what happened. In fact, Jesus said, his kingdom was not like those on earth. And he is a king in a far more glorious and universal way than the Jews back then could have ever imagined. He came not simply to conquer earthly kingdoms, but the domain of darkness and sin. And to fully grasp his work as king, we need to understand that Jesus is Savior. You might remember what we read in Luke chapter 2, what the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds out in the field at night. Now picture in your minds with me. You're one of these dirty shepherds, unsuspectingly out in the field at night. You're relaxing, watching your sheep, making sure they're all fine. And suddenly, in the midst of the darkness, this incredible, powerful, pure, brilliant angel appears before you, coming in God's holy power and name, his glory shining all around, and says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord." Now, if I was one of those shepherds, I don't think I'd be able to ignore that message. Now, especially because after the angel finishes that message, a whole army of angels suddenly appears with this angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." You can imagine the scene. You can imagine it in your mind. And this was how God delivered the good news of great joy to his shepherds in such splendor and glory that they couldn't deny one bit that it was God giving them this message. And even more so, the sign the angel gives of a baby in Bethlehem proves to be true. They go and look for themselves. But why is the angel's news good news of great joy? Even for you and me, why is it good news of great joy? Well, it lies in the fact that Jesus is not just King, but Savior. And a Savior from what? Well, an angel tells Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, in the book of Matthew chapter 1, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." From their sins. Jesus is a Savior to save people from their sins. But why is this good news? Why is this good news? Well, to understand how this is good news, we need to understand the really, really bad news about you and about me, about sin. The reality is that each and every one of us in this room is affected by sin. Sin is rebellion against God. And it is this rebellion against the holy God that ultimately deserves death and eternal hell, judgment for what we deserve. See, God is the one who created us, and he made us to live in his good world, giving glory and honor to him as the ruler of the world. But you and me, we reject God as our ruler by running our own lives our own way. By rebelling against God, we damage ourselves, each other, and the world. And God won't let us rebel against him forever. Like I mentioned, God's punishment for rebellion is death and judgment. And he could return at any moment to punish sin once and for all. Or we could die at any moment. And then we'll have to face the reality of what our sins deserve. It's hard to hear. And it means that we're all in deep trouble. But this is where the good news of great joy comes in. God, out of his great love for us, sent his Son into the world, the man Jesus Christ. And Jesus lived under God's rule. He lived a perfect life that no one has ever lived or could ever live. And then he took our punishment by dying in our place on a cross. And the only way that he could take the eternal punishment that we deserve is because he was not just fully man, but he was also fully God. But that's not all. God raised Jesus to life again as the ruler and judge of the world. He defeated death and sin forever. The ultimate enemy was conquered. And his promise is forgiveness for sin and eternal life and glory for those who come and believe in him and live under his rule as the King of all. That is good news of great joy. There is a King and Savior who promises forgiveness of all your sin against God, to wash you clean of all your sin, to give you new life, to give you eternal life, to rescue you from death in this life and judgment in the next. He is a Savior to redeem you, to worship the one that you were made for, so that you can not just enjoy God's good world without him in the picture, but so that you can enjoy him and enjoy his good world living under him in it. Without him in the picture, it's like living life without color, without hope, without real joy, without true purpose. He is the one who fills Christmas not just with temporal happiness, but eternal joy. But this is only for those who repent, confess and turn away from their sins, and put their trust entirely in Jesus. And if you haven't done that, consider why not. This is not just a trivial Christmas tradition. This bears upon your entire life. If you haven't trusted in Jesus before, you can do so even right now. You can pray to him in your own chair and ask him. He's the Lord of heaven. He can hear you. You can ask him, Jesus, I bring all my filthy sin to you. Forgive me of every sin and wash me clean by your sacrifice. I trust in you and will follow you as Savior and King all the days of my life. You can pray that right where you are. And the promise that God gives is that by trusting in him, he does that very thing. He does what he promises. He cleanses you. He forgives you and brings you in as a member of his kingdom. He makes you his very child. And if you have put your trust in Jesus, commit to reading his word, the Bible, so that you can learn how to live for him. Commit to being part of a church that is faithful to God's word and teaches it weekly. Commit to knowing him more and more as you continue to trust in him more and more. And if you're not willing to put your trust in Jesus yet and you want to dive deeper, you have more questions, or even if tonight you did put your trust in Christ for the first time, if this is something you've done, but you still want to know more, I encourage you to attend the upcoming course we promoted called Christianity Explored. Am I able to get the slide up? Thank you. So you can go to our website and register or get more details or come and find me afterwards. Make the time to come to this. Make the time and really explore who Jesus Christ is. It's really worth it, and it bears upon your whole life. And also, for those who would like, we have these booklets in the foyer. They're called Two Ways to Live. And we also have these, which is a gift for you as well. It's the Gospel of Luke. You can take these home, and I ask, read it and deeply consider what is inside. Deeply think about it and read through slowly. But before we close, for those who aren't ready to explore or to put their trust in Christ, do consider the real danger that you're in. It's like receiving a cancer diagnosis and not doing anything to get treatment. Don't ignore it. Read God's word, see for yourself, look at the evidence, and for the sake of your life, run to Jesus. Don't walk away after tonight not thinking about Jesus at all. Let me pray. O gracious God, we praise you that you have given us such great promises of forgiveness and cleansing of sin in Jesus. and that all that is required for this great gift is faith, is trust in Jesus. We ask that for each one of us in this room, that that would be a reality. And Lord, that our lives would be lives of great joy, living with real hope, the hope of eternity, under the King and Saviour Jesus Christ. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.